love your voices. Just hearing everybody this morning is so wonderful, such an encouragement. Not just to hear this voice up here, which gets kind of tiresome sometimes, but to hear all of your voices. I know David said, I will raise my voice in the congregation of the righteous. This is a good place to raise your voice, a safe place to raise your voice and to speak out of the wonders of Jehovah. And it's good to hear good voices too, strong voices. Some of you may remember that I had an incident last fall in September that put me in the hospital for 6 days. And while I was there, I learned that one of my problems was that I had low sodium. And any of you who know anything about that or have been through that know that it can be a very serious matter. And so before they would let me out of the hospital, they had to get my sodium levels back to the right place. And so my job since that time has been to keep it there. And I do that by taking sodium tablets. And so every day I'm taking these things, but I feel the effect that it has on my voice. So if there's one thing I have as a prayer request, pray that that gets up there and stays there. I have an appointment every 4 weeks with my physician to check that level. So that's what I'm aiming for. And I've never considered myself to have a great voice anyway, but man, this complicates it even more. So thank you for that. This year has been a strange year, hasn't it? Just looking back, I mean, there's so much to think about and contemplate. And this glimmer of hope that we have now, light at the end of the tunnel, is really encouraging to us. And there is a great light shining that outshines them all, and that's the light of the Lord, which he gives to his people and keeps us going. But it's been a year where everything seems out of order. And last week we talked about the problem of disorder coming into our lives, and we want to address that topic a little bit more today and encourage one another as we live in a time of disorder, which we are always living in, right? To one degree or another, that disorder is always there. We've not had an orderly world since the Garden of Eden, when things were like they were supposed to be. We'll have it again, the Lord says, when he comes back. And we have the new heaven and the new earth, and things are like they're supposed to be. But always during this life, to one degree or another, there is going to be disorder. There's a passage that I have thought about for years and years and years, and maybe some of you have done the very same. It's Romans chapter 8. And it tells us that we live in a groaning universe, one in which we are described as waiting to be made whole. We're waiting for creation to be made whole. And Paul says, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting to be made complete. We're not there yet. We're always going through this tension of order and disorder in the world. But he says in that very same passage that the Holy Spirit is working to help us in our weaknesses. So the difficulties we experience, the disorder that we may find in our life, he has given us the Holy Spirit that he may help us find a measure or measures of order in our lives. Thinking about this and reading about it and watching the world around us, It is obvious that we live in a world that has been affected by disorder and brokenness. And we read about it in the newspaper every day. We hear it on the news. We feel it in our own life experiences. And we trace it all back to an original source. The Bible tells us what that source is. It is sin. Sin entered the world. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered the world, and death passed on to all men because all have sinned. We all partake of that. No one escapes. But here's the great promise out of Romans chapter 8. To live in such a world does not mean that we are helpless to do anything, but that we can work with God's help to overcome the disorder in good measure. Even that which we experience in our own lives on a daily basis. Francis Bacon, who lived from 1561 to 1626, was a lawyer, an essayist. He was Lord Chancellor of England, and he was a Christian, who stressed that through careful observation and a systematic collection of information, we could unlock nature's secrets and live better lives. As a Christian, he believed it was important to fight against the sin and the disorder in the world. And he made this incredible statement. As a Christian, let no man think or maintain that a person can search too far or be too well studied in the book of God's word or in the book of God's world, that it's good to investigate. It is good to search. And at the very beginning, he says, we cannot be too well studied in the book of God's word. The book of God's word, of course, is the Bible. And notice that it does what it does, according to 2 Timothy, is make us profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God can be fully equipped. Actually, the word that Bacon uses is living this way is how we repair our disorder and brokenness. You cannot be too well studied in the book of God's word. And then, of course, the book of God's works is all of creation. And in Genesis, we are told that we have an ordered universe created by God's hand. And so even in the midst of confusion and disorder, there is order to be found. And so he says, study God's word, study the world that I have made. Both of these are my revelation to you. In Romans 1:20, here's what we read. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, namely his power and his divine nature, have been clearly seen through what he has made. What a great life we have. God has given us his word as revelation by which we should know him. And to neglect this book is to neglect the greatest resource we have for coming to know who he is and how he wants us to live in the world. So here are two sources: God's word, the world around us, Study both of them, Bacon says, and you can find an order to life and an ordered life. You can have that. I'll remind you again, there's always disorder. And none of us can live completely free from that. But in the midst of that, there is order to be found. That's what we want to explore a little bit more today and in the weeks to come. I took time to just look up the word order in my Bible. And let me just read some verses to you. This is Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. I love that. So even in the midst of the confusion and the midst of the disorder that I may personally experience or I may see all around me, the Lord is there, and he knows my heart as I turn toward righteousness. It says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. We may delight in this life, even in the midst of the confusion or disorder that we may see around us or that we may experience. How about Psalm 50, verse 23? To him who orders his way aright, I shall show the saving power of God. That's Psalm 50, verse 23. To him who orders his way aright, I shall show the saving power of God. The word for arranges here is a Hebrew word which means who properly arranges his life. God's given us resources. We take those resources, we arrange them, and we understand the power of God at work in our lives. And then Psalm 119, verse 133, longest chapter, of course, in the Bible. Order my footsteps according to your word. Do not let iniquity rule my life. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, O Lord, according to your word. And then Colossians 2:5. Though I am not with you in body, I rejoice to see the good order and stability of your faith. That's Paul writing to the church at Colossae, where he had gone and started that church, went on his journeys, and now he's looking back. And he says, I see order and stability, and what a delight it is to me. Well, I'm going to sit down and turn this over to Brian Hudson. I asked Brian to do something for us today, and that was to take two or three passages of Scripture that he learned, and because he applied them, they restored or brought order to his life. And I'd like you to do that exercise too. Is there one or two or three passages of Scripture that you have come across, it so grabbed you that you dug into it, and it now has brought change to your life? So in the time that remains, Brian is going to do that, and I thank him for his help. All this setup that you see here, these wires and these microphones and pictures and everything, is Brian's doing too. So let's thank him for that. Come on, Brian. Lay it on us this morning. Remember the question. A scripture that really got a hold of you, you applied it, and it changed your life. Dying to hear about it.
It is 10:56. So we should be out by noon. Is that okay, Tom?
Don't ask me. Ask them.
What,
one, two, or three passages of Scripture?
At least you gave me the time to exegete him. That's okay. Now, I think, to be honest, what I want to do is I just want to focus on one, right? Tom and I have talked about, I think the order is a great frame to think through the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? The idea of order and the disorderedness of a fallen world. I teach film classes, and I teach what's called in media res. If you know about film, it's when a movie starts kind of in the middle, and then it backtracks and starts all over again. I think sometimes as Christians, we start in media res. Jesus died for our sins. If you accepted him as Lord and Savior, right? But we live in a world that doesn't understand sin, chaos, disorder. It's like somebody walking into Cinderella's house as she's the queen, and she's finishing the story saying, and they put the shoe on me, and then I became a princess and then a queen. And you say, you got to be a queen because of a shoe? Right? No. I had to run out of a ball. Oh, you had to run out. Why'd you have to run out of a ball? And you left your shoe. Did you rent it? What was going on? No. It was magic that brought me, so I had to leave early. What do you mean magic? And who were you before? I mean, weren't you prepared to be a princess like they do in England? No. I had evil stepsisters and an evil mother, right? You were born that way? No. There was a tragic beginning. I had a father who loved me, right? Do you see what I'm saying? And so we, as Christians, tend to live in a world that we try to describe and explain the gospel in media res. The idea of order, and since Tom gave me only 5 minutes, is to maybe come back next week and share a little bit about those ideas, right? The order of divine things, the order of creation, the order of being human and the human mind, the order of the soul, the order of art by actually choosing to build things and make things and shape things, and then the order of the soul that feels that sense of rightness in the world. And then I would add one more to that, and that's the order that comes from redemption. How many of us walk around with regrets? I walk around with them all the time. And there are times that I think that those regrets or those things which were disordered in my life before dictate today. And they do impact today, right? But there's the order of a redemptive God who weaves the dark strokes or the dissonant notes of our past into the symphony of his music, right? That's a beautiful thing. And so you were speaking, and I think what sums up this as well as any, if I may, is the idea of order, right? Psalm 46, which I believe that I shared once before here, I don't need to go through it or read it because I just want to get to one line. This is a psalm about the waves, the oceans overwhelming the mountains themselves. A people in crisis, a people overwhelmed and drowning. The mountains tremble at its swelling, the river, you know, just everything, just it's out of control. And I shared before about the fact that this psalm is about God's presence, the importance of God's presence. There's a stream whose river, or there's a river whose stream makes glad the city of God. There's a big river, but a trickling stream makes glad the city of God. And then they link that stream to God's presence. Sometimes it's quiet, small, but stream. compared to oceans overwhelming mountains. But there's a passage in the verse 10, God says, be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. There's nothing that you've done, there's nothing that you can do, no mistake that you make, that will thwart the plans of God for his glory. Nothing. There's no amount of work that we can do to fight or work or whatever without God's presence involved. And ultimately, he says, just be still and know that I am God. How often he has to tell me that, because the reason my life is disordered is believing that, and from the very beginning in the garden, of thinking that I am God. I will do it myself. I will make my own choices. I will fix it. And I have a life of baggage and stumblings and brokenness that still in some ways impact, but oh, what a glorious thing for God to say, be still and know that I am God in everything that I do. I'm God over your brokenness. I'm God over your fears. I'm God over your anxiousness. I'm God when the oceans overwhelm you. I'm God when the mountains tremble around you. I'm God in the stream, and I'm God in the storm. Just all there. And it's okay to just still your hearts. Still your hearts. That's where order comes from. And I had a whole different message planned before, but I wanted to share that word, be still and know that I'm God. Father, we do thank you. We praise you that you're God, that you're awful in your mystery, that your thoughts are above our thoughts. Lord, we thank you that you are exalted above the heavens. And yet, Lord, we thank you that out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have established strength, even in the smallest things, that you have spoken and ordered things the way they should go, that even in your sovereignty, you have allowed for agency and choice to cause division and chaos and brokenness and marring, and you, God, will display your splendor and glory by redeeming all things, by weaving it into your drama and your symphony, your story. We thank you that you've not done it from afar, but to show the order of the Godhead, you became flesh. And so we stand still. As Job said, we cover our mouths. Lord, let us still our hearts to cease, to stop, and know that you're God. Lord, we do pray for Tom's voice. We pray for Tom's health. Lord, thank you for Tom and Judy's ministry to us and the encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for this body. In Jesus' name. Amen.